Did you guys hear the news?
No.
What's the news?
Humble Bundle is over.
Oh, God.
What? No, it's back. It's no more.
What?
A lot of people are saying the bundle's not humble. I think a major publisher coming to gamers and saying, just give us anything, please, any amount of money, and we'll let you have all these things, please, just anything. I think that's pretty humble.
That is pretty humble.
Seems humble to me.
It's about as humble as it gets. I just don't get it, you guys.
What don't you
get? I just don't get it. I just bought like 8 games for $15. Like, that's bonkers. I could have paid $1. Like, how in any way is that a bad thing?
Yeah, it's
well, you gotta compare. This is a little math lesson for you, Griff. You gotta compare any bucks with no bucks. Because that's what they were getting before. Yesterday, they didn't get any money.
Mm-hmm. I follow
you. And today, they're going to get some money.
The complaint of the funding isn't going towards helping a company make more games. Like, it definitely wicked is in the case of THQ.
Yeah, really.
THQ is asking its mom for money to help make games. Like, they definitely super need it.
My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I am here to guide you through what games this week are good.
My name is Christopher Plant, and I know a pretty good game this week.
My name is Ross Rustig, and I know the best game of the week.
Here on The Besties, we take the hottest, latest, greatest releases from the week, pit them against each other in Mortal Kombat until one comes out on top. And then we pit it against our current reigning champion to see which one reigns supreme. Russ Freshdick.
Blops.
Do you know? Blops.
Blops 2.
Blops 2. I finished the campaign for
Blops. Oh, boy.
As did I.
I kind of
shut
dug
up, Dustin.
Maybe it's because
you're wrong.
No.
It may be because you lowered my expectations so much. I thought it was kind
of
cool.
The ending, I agree with you. There's a lot of really cool parts in the campaign. The ending.
The last 10 minutes.
The ending is a total dog fart. And then you're like, well, that was a dog fart. And then the credits roll. And then comes the real dog fart.
Oh, boy.
Holy shit. I don't want to spoil it for anyone. I won't say what happens, but it's unbelievably bad. It's like a Deadly Premonitions-esque level of unbelievability, and it happens at the end of the biggest entertainment franchise in the universe.
Well, to its credit, it takes about 30 minutes to get through all the credits, so maybe like by then you're sort of like thinking you're watching something else.
I really did actually go outside and hook up all of my Christmas lights. And then, Russ, Christmas is a holiday celebration.
What was this?
Birth of Jesus. We'll talk
about it. Is it like Simchas Torah?
I've got good news, Russ.
But I went outside, hooked up all my Christmas lights, and came back in, and the credits were still going on. When you see what happens in the last, 10 minutes of this game, after you beat it, my jaw was on the floor.
And we're not even talking about the... is it a spoiler to say that Jimmy Kimmel is in the end?
I didn't even see that.
Oh, what? Okay. So you could bleep out whatever you want, but essentially, because the game has divergent endings, depending on what you do, one of the endings features late-night show host Jimmy Kimmel interviewing Karma, the hacker girl, and Menendez is watching her and Jimmy Kimmel on TV and shaking his fists angrily.
Oh, God.
Okay, well, if that had happened in my game, it would have been a really one-sided interview.
Oh, yeah.
Because Jimmy Kimmel died in Justin's game.
Jimmy Kimmel died in my universe. I can't. It's worth playing through. But the game itself... I thought it was like really crazy. The ending level is insane.
Really, the final level you're talking? I didn't think it was interesting at all.
It's like there's so much going on. Like it feels so against the odds in a way that like those games really don't. It feels like sort of like one of those one in a million chance type things. And there was a level before that actually where you're trying to active like your goal is to avoid conflict, but it's not a stealth mission. Like you get through the level sort of by avoiding killing people.
Oh yeah, that was a good one.
That was really
cool. I have no idea what level you're talking about.
You're a secret agent, and so you don't want to kill any of your guys.
Oh right. I killed all of my guys.
There's a lot of fighting going on around you. The only thing I thought was weird, other than the ending, was I know people talked up a lot about like the divergent stuff. A lot of it you wouldn't really realize was divergent. I had a, for instance, I had an issue where I accidentally started the next mission when I wanted to do a Strike Force mission, and the Strike Force side missions they dry up, they disappear after a while. Yeah. So there's no way to go back to the menu and choose another mission once you start a mission. So what I had to do was actually rewind the game to the mission before that and play it again. And in that, the last thing that happens in this level is you're chasing a bad guy. And when I was chasing this dude, the first time I was playing, I killed his bodyguards and then I shot the guy. And I thought that's just like how the level ended. The second time I played, he got away from me and lived. But I would never have realized, I mean, it never would have occurred to me that it was divergent. Yeah. And like, I think if you don't realize, then it's almost like, what's the point?
Yeah.
Because
right. It's essentially
then
playing out.
You only realize it. Right. I mean, it's like if you only realize that it was divergent when you're like talking to someone later.
So I knew to a certain extent when I reviewed it that there were divergent paths, but I didn't know how divergent it was until the very, very end when I talked to people about it. And it was at that point, yeah, I essentially felt like, oh, that's like a cool, interesting thing that it played out differently for someone else. But it didn't really pay off in the way that like a decision in Walking Dead pays off, where like honestly, like anything you do, you feel like is a divergent path. Here, yeah. Essentially, as you were saying, it just feels like a Call of Duty story. Like, it doesn't feel like you are making any real impact in what you're doing, except for, like, a couple very specific parts.
So yeah, that's Call of Duty. It's our game of the year, 2012. Thanks.
No, I really actually liked a high percentage of the levels, and I didn't even finish Modern Warfare 3. And I actually really liked a lot of what Black Ops is doing. I thought it was really interesting.
Man, that's too bad because the end of Modern Warfare 3 is bonkers.
It is.
Oh my also, god, it's good.
So let's talk about this week's games.
Yeah, there's a lot. Change. That's a good idea.
What's everybody been playing? Honestly, guys, I play Black Ops 2. That's what the kids have been playing. That's where I've been at. That's where I'm at right now. That's where I live. That's where my house is.
I've had a much broader palette, but I think we're going to kick things off with Hitman Absolution, which...
Who's been playing that joint?
I've been playing that.
Chris Plant?
Yeah. Have you been playing that too, Russ?
No, not at all.
Oh, man. Am I the only one who's been playing it?
Yeah.
I've heard about it, and one time I killed a man.
Oh, wow.
I killed a man in Charleston, South Carolina.
Were you dressed as like a French stripper? And you
no,
used,
I was
like,
just like wearing my
wire?
just wearing my civvies. Mm-hmm. Just wearing like I was wearing like a jeans, and I was wearing like a sweater. It was in fall, so it was a little chilly, and so I killed a man.
Wow! Did you feed him fugu, or how'd you do it?
I just punched and kicked him.
Oh, until he died.
Until he stopped.
That's a good way to do it.
That's classic.
How many punches
classic
and kicks stuff does it take to kill a man?
It depends on like your strength and the relative like weakness of the bones of the person you're punching and kicking. So it was like, I don't know, it was like 30,
wow,
30 of each.
He must have had like a bone disease.
Because I measured it, because for each punch I did, I also did one kick. So
oh,
I kept
that's
them
smart
straight in my mouth. I would alternate. I would do a punch and then a kick and then a punch. That's basically Krav Maga.
Yeah.
So how's Hitman?
It's good. I feel like I'm probably not the best person in the world to describe it.
You're the only one on the show to describe it.
The beginning, and I had not played a lot of Hitman games. So Maybe I'm speaking to all the people who are new to Hitman like I am. It's really good. It's like playing a David Fincher movie. Those old David Fincher movies, like Seven, the old. But it just visually is just very dark and grim, but has this kind of macabre humor about it. So the premise, if you don't know, is you are a hitman. You are bald. You look like the hitman that was in the movie Hitman that was based on this series of video games. You have the little barcode tattooed to your neck. There's a whole story about how you have to save this little girl. It's terribly uninteresting. What is interesting is what you do. Each mission is a hit, and you have one person so far that you need to assassinate.
Have you played any of the Hitman games?
Nah, I've played like 10 minutes of each of them, maybe.
Okay.
I was always intimidated by them because there are certain fan bases that I think scare people like me away from games. And people would describe this game as the most impossibly difficult and like cerebral game that you will ever play. Cerebral. And so far what I can tell from this game, it's not the case. It's pretty easy. Anywho, so the point is, you have to kill someone. And in the map, there will be like maybe a dozen ways to do it, maybe more. But you don't know about this beforehand. You just try to figure out by listening to other people's conversations how to maybe lure this guy away from where he's at and blow him up. An example early on is like you're in the middle of Chinatown, and this guy is in a very, very densely populated area with bodyguards everywhere. So I walked over to his car. I beat on it, so the alarm went off. He came over to check out the car, and I shot him in the face, buried him, and I stole the clothes of his nearest guard and
so
just
what,
walked out.
What
that's
I
like
find
a really simple version of what you can do. You can do things way more complicated than that.
I think it's kind of funny that he's supposed to be like the world's greatest hitman, and his whole plan for all of these missions, I'm just going to wing it.
Yeah, that he
can figure it out.
And he's like, I'm going to go in, assume that they're going to hang out here for at least 30 minutes, and listen to strangers because they will obviously know the best way to kill this person. And they will just coincidentally discuss things that would be like the worst things to discuss if you want to protect someone. Like, oh, yeah, that guy sure is standing in the middle over there. Hey, Linda, I don't know if you heard, but that window two stories above him has a sniper rifle in it. Huh. Okay, cool, thanks, Todd. See you later. Hope the kids are well.
Todd, that may qualify as sexual harassment. I'm not.
So, Linda, somebody's watching us right now. If you don't give me a kiss, I'm gonna kill you.
Hey, I heard a rumor. I heard a rumor about Jerry. I heard he hates being put into meat grinders. It's his only weakness.
The thing about this game is there's also this really twisted sense of humor, which if you've seen images or video of the game, like, the hitman will dress up as all sorts of goofy shit, like the Swedish chef or like a mascot or something. But also, the conversations people have are awful. Like, one of the first conversations that you overhear at the beginning of the game is you're about to reach into a window and pull a man out and throw him to his death, like on the craggy rocks below. And his last words are, oh yeah, they called, and it turns out it's not terminal. The cancer's going to be just okay.
Oh my God.
It's like, God. Oh, so yeah, I like playing this for the first time. It's a little unusual because my instinct for a game like this is to just blast through it, and this game would be incredibly fast if you did that. They put so much time and effort into these like gorgeous environments and all the different things you can do with them, and they don't really motivate you in any way to go back and play the levels. I mean, that is an option that pops up at the end, along with, you know, like all these icons that are badges basically you can earn, and those kind of hint at other things you can do, and ultimately you want to, you know, 100% the stage. But right. There's nothing that the game does to make it clear why I would want to do that other than my own like curiosity.
Chiefos.
Yeah, and that's fine, but it's like, man, they put so much work into each of these stages.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you're good, you can finish one, you know, 10 minutes.
So that was one of the things that I like the Hitman games to a certain extent, but I've always found them a little weirdly frustrating, because like in a stealth game, you know, failure is you get spotted for the most part and that's pretty much it. You're going to reload a save. In Hitman, the game generally doesn't, I mean, I guess there's something freeing about the fact that the game doesn't really require you to restart, but invariably like a plan goes to shit and you end up just sort of slaughtering a bunch of people, and that's sort of okay.
Well, here you just die. Right. If you
oh, really?
If it goes to shit and people see you, like, you're screwed. I mean, at least I had it on, like, a difficult enough setting that, like, a SWAT team would appear in, like, a minute, and they would just destroy me.
How is it? Have you tried, like, stealth in it, through it?
Yeah, I mean, that's how you kind of have to play it through stealth.
I mean, how I'm super into, like, stealth games. I think Dishonored got me into the idea of, like, being okay with that genre for the first time in my entire life. Like, how does it make sense, the stealth? Like, is there feedback? Is it, like, if you're in the shadows, then nobody can see you, even if you're right next to them?
Yeah, I mean, you there's kind of a vision mechanic, basically. There, you have this, like, I always call it feral sense, because that's what it was in Wolverine Origins, which was the first game I saw this in. But you hold a button, and it depletes this bar, and that when that's held, you can see who sees you, kind of, like, what the paths are, so where the guards are going to walk next. Gives you a foresight. And then also, if you're in a costume that is the same as the guard who sees you, so if you're a cop and he's a cop, it basically will trick him so he doesn't see through the disguise. And this runs out relatively quickly. You can also use it to, like, shoot, like, four people in a row when you burst into a door or something. I mean, the problem is this stuff does run out, so it's not as intuitive as, say, Mark of the Ninja, which I think is, like, the most... You know exactly what you're doing at all times in terms of stealth. It's weird. I really, really like the game. I think it's visually beautiful, and there's a lot of crazy things that you can do in it. But ultimately, a lot of these stealth games, I still feel like I'm learning the language of the developer, where it's like, hey, we thought of 12 really cool ways for you to kill someone. I hope you find him in this level.
Well, I mean, that's all that stuff has to be driven internally, I feel like, for games like that. Like, when I played Dishonored, I tried to play it without killing anybody because, like, I feel like they had designed it so you could do that, and I kind of wanted to see their vision for that idea. I feel like if you have the option of just shooting your way through Hitman, but, I mean, there's got to be people out there who just kind of want to see... Yeah. How they have designed these things.
Yeah, they're mouse. It's Mousetrap, you know? Like, I feel like...
We have got to stop comparing every single game to Mousetrap.
Do we do that a lot? I didn't notice. But, yeah, it's basically like the spring is already set, and the joy is in watching it play out. And with Dishonored, I felt it was a little different in that while the deaths weren't as, you know, crazy, I felt like I was always in complete control of it. That it was something like I had earned, and like I did it, not like, oh, I found what I needed to, you know, spring.
I did hear about a later mission in Hitman where essentially it's night and you're trying very carefully not to wake Daddy. Mm-hmm. And that kind of reminded me of something else.
I heard of this other mission where you're hanging out with an Inuit family in Alaska, and their child falls on the frozen lake, and you have to cross the lake to get to them, but the ice is very brittle, very thin.
Oh, no, no. But I did hear about this mission where you have to go to jail, and then you have to escape, but the only people who can help you are grapes.
That's a good one. That's a real deep pull.
So here's... before we get off this, one thing I do want to say, I don't know how it is on 360, and as Rush Frushstick can attest, I'm a PC snob. Mm-hmm. Beyond it just looking balls awesome on PC, like, it's the first game where a cutscene ended and I didn't do anything for a minute because I thought the cutscene was still just kind of going. I didn't realize the game was here. And the reason that is you will go into these environments like Chinatown, and there are as many people, if not more people, than would ever be in a place like this. Like, they're just showing off with how many... AI care, like NPCs are just strolling around, and all of them are having conversations, and it's so awesome to play a stealth game where you blend into the people because you actually just blend in with the people. It's not like Assassin's Creed where it's like, oh, I was walking with these three prostitutes and no one noticed me. Like, you get lost in a crowd. There's a level on a subway platform where, like, you need to get lost in a crowd, and it feels like you are actually hiding from the cops in a crowd of, you know, hundreds of people.
Yeah, but you're, like, a really tall, very pale, bald dude.
No, how because do you get lost you, in Chinatown? You murder one of the civilians on your way in, and then you dress up as them.
That's horrible.
Yeah, that's how I do.
I like that, though. That gets my motor running. Kind of like to hear that. I shouldn't admit
it's
it.
It's good to feel charged up, you know?
So as someone who's not familiar with the series, you still dig it.
Yeah, I was intimidated. I no longer am. I strongly recommend it.
Because I've played some of those Hitman games, but that feeling that Dishonored gave me of like, well, the stealth didn't work out, but it's still going to be fun. I have a clear memory of getting the exact opposite vibe from
yeah, the non-stealth games. Stuff like, has never felt amazing in those games.
No.
Yeah, right.
The good thing is when it works here, it's more of a tension game than like I feel like most stealth is. I feel like most stealth is you sneaking up on someone else, right, and using stealth in that way. And the most exciting moments of this game is just not being seen, like, in plain sight. It's, holy shit, this guy is literally inches away from me, and I can't strike right now, and I need to get him into the right place so that it looks like I wasn't even here.
Yeah, that sounds cool. Tension. I'm down with that.
Yeah.
But how much does the game cost?
Ooh, I don't know, like a gajillion or something.
Might as well, because the game that we're going to talk about now doesn't cost any money. So your game, costs infinity times
more.
How
many times have you used this argument? This is your favorite argument.
This is not a good argument.
I know. I've been playing a lot of PlanetSide 2.
Oh, that's a lot like Mousetrap.
It is, sort of.
It's free. It's free to play.
Yeah, that's true. It is free to play. And let me preface everything that I'm about to say by saying that you should absolutely, definitely play it. Assuming you have a PC that can handle it. Honestly, my PC's not great, and it does it just fine. But I've heard a lot of people complaining that it doesn't work. But so PlanetSide. Did anybody play the original PlanetSide?
Briefly, it was terrible.
It wasn't very good. And it was partially because I think that what they were trying to go for, just that there was the technology couldn't support
it. It was far too ambitious.
There were no hitboxes. Like, you just, like, if you shot somebody in the body, like, they would just sort of register it and then maybe die. So the years have been good, I think, to the PlanetSide dream, because it feels a lot more like what they talked about in PlanetSide, and it still has its fair share of issues. I think my biggest problems with the game come from transitioning directly from Call of Duty Black Ops 2 to PlanetSide 2, which, like, don't get me wrong, I'm not comparing them at all. I understand that they are completely different experiences. But still, coming from a game where it's all about the individual, and an individual with the right set of skills can, you know, just clean up and totally decimate, to PlanetSide 2, where the individual is basically worthless. Like, you can't do anything on your own in PlanetSide 2. Have any of you played PlanetSide 2, Justin? No. I know you were talking about getting in on
it. I played it a preview.
I played the beta a little bit. I have downloaded it, and am itching to get on board.
Here's the
with my new warrior Kilbo Baggins.
That's good.
Pretty excited.
So basically, it is a massively multiplayer online first person shooter, which are becoming in vogue right now. And it is free to play. You can pay for station cash, which is their currency for Sony Online Entertainment games to buy, like, weapons, but you can also just unlock them normally by playing. I can't think of anything. There are vanity items like armor and like experience boosts that you can buy with station cash, but everything else is you pay for in the game. So it's class-based. You have, you know, like, engineers who can build turrets and heal vehicles, and you have medics who can heal and revive people, and you have light assault, which have jetpacks, and heavy assault, which have big rifles and stealth classes and a big mech class. And there are tons of vehicles and aircraft that you can use. And basically, it three factions war over all these different control points on these enormous continent-sized maps. And you just struggle for control of those different control points. And when you conquer a region, then it gives you certain supplies that you need to build the things that you need. Like, you can't spawn a certain type of vehicle if you don't have the supplies you need. It basically, the entire experience of the game is based around working within a platoon. It's very much like MAG in that sense.
Would you say it's like Platoon?
It's a lot like the movie Platoon, where basically, you if you don't work together, if you do not if you're not part of a coordinated front attacking one singular point, and you're putting all of your effort into this one thing, the game is not much fun.
Yeah.
I have a question. Question?
Yeah.
When you said Mag, how many people do you think remembered that game?
Justin and I played it quite a bit.
Yeah.
We got so
many. That's good that two people were playing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
is that shut down now? Have they shuttered Mag? Is Mag shuttered?
I don't think they need to if nobody's playing it.
Griffin, I was
curious. Let me come to the defense of Mag real quick, because PlanetSide 2 represents a lot of the same ideas. Mag had some totally dope stuff going on.
It had like great ideas.
The way that squads and platoons, like the different tiers of organizations, and having like one body in charge of a squad and then one body in charge of several squads, like PlanetSide 2 basically does all of that, but it does it in a giant persistent world. So, like, you'll have those big 100-on-100, you know, dogfights for a facility. But what's cool about PlanetSide 2 is when that is over, your whole army, like, just rolls onto the next target. And, like, being a part – that's one of my favorite things about PlanetSide 2. Not, like, the fights for a facility, but, like, just rolling in a huge armada of aircraft and tanks and four-wheelers.
Yeah, it's like the helicopters in what's that movie? Apocalypse Now.
It's like straight up like Ride of the Valkyries. Like, it's so awesome. And then when you can just crash against another wave of people coming at you like that, it's like there are some when everything comes together in this game and you have two like coordinated groups coming at each other at the same time, it is not like any other shooter I've ever played. Like, it actually captures that feeling of like running down a hilltop towards your target with like bullets and missiles whizzing overhead. Like, it actually does that shit more than any other shooter ever has. The issue is that you have to wait so long to get into situations.
Well,
like
that's sort of the question I had. So correct me if I'm wrong, the entire game is PvP?
Yeah, it's all PvP.
It's all PvP. So, and are you personally playing with people that you know?
I haven't, no.
So is it an issue? Because, like, when I play Call of Duty solo, more often than not, it kind of sucks because you're not, like, directly talking to people.
Yeah.
So do you have an issue coordinating with strangers?
No, because it has in-game voice chat, which is helpful. And when you do get in there with a guy who's like, we have a Tango coming in, the 6 o'clock entrance of the, like, it's kind of dope. Like, you kind of get into that mindset really nicely. But it also has, like, a lot of options for instantly finding a group, and then I think like every 20 or 30 minutes or so you can instantly spawn into that group. Otherwise you have to like get a vehicle and catch up with them. From starting the game, like loading up into your bases, your headquarters, all you have to do is press insert to automatically insert yourself into a group, and then press insert again to automatically spawn in on that group.
So you just keep pressing insert?
Yeah, basically the whole game is you just keep tapping insert, and whichever army taps it the fastest wins.
That sounds like my Friday night.
So it's
night.
Like curiosity, basically.
It is basically like that, yeah. There are... The problem is that it needs a lot of balance fixes. Like, I have only found maybe two guns that I don't just hate. Like, the guns are either completely impotent or they buck like a mule. The gunplay is kind of weak across the board, which I think can be fixed. Also, the unlocks, like you
have. Wait a minute! It's a first-person shooter. How can you fix that? If that's not working, that is a big problem.
Well, I mean, just lowering the recoil on all of the weapons across the board would be great. Here's the problem: the weapon unlocks, like, they're so unbalanced how they unlock it. So you earn cert points by playing, which are what you use to unlock things inside of your classes. So you can spend like 1,000 cert points to unlock a new gun.
So you're earning certs?
You're earning certs. You're earning fresh breath mints.
Okay.
You will have to play for like an hour or two to get enough certs to unlock like maybe one or two attachments for a gun. Like, it's just so slow. And I understand that they're doing that for retention because it's an MMO.
Well,
right?
Not they only retention, they want to make money.
Well, they want to make money, but I don't think you can actually buy attachments and stuff with real money. You can buy guns with real money. Like, the business model just doesn't make any sense. But moreover, it's just the carrot is like 2 miles away from you. Like, it takes so long to get anything that you want. And then, like, there's weird stuff where, like, you'll buy this healing kit, and you're like, awesome, that only cost me one cert point. And the next level, it's like, now it's going to cost you 50 cert points if you want to upgrade it. It's like, well, that'll take me 4 hours to get that much. Like, I just don't want to do that. But again, like, I think that's a thing they can tweak. I think they can just make stuff a little bit cheaper. It has its fair share of problems, but it's free, and like, those moments of those like Helm's Deep moments are like some of the coolest battles I've been a part of in an online game.
That does sound pretty cool.
I'm on the Terran Republic. If you want to join up on Watterson, is the server?
I don't think it's running on my MacBook Air.
I love Bill Watterson so much, yep. And so I wanted to fight specifically for him.
for the honor of Bill Watterson. If you kill enough of the bad guys, then Ford won't be able to make pictures of Calvin peeing on
my logo. Is Calvin peeing on the other two factions in the game.
With a dual stream of urine. Yeah. Who was in Las Vegas this week?
I was. So I feel like there's a picture in people's minds of like the ideal Thanksgiving. And more often than not, that picture does not resemble loud, neon, drunk people in wife beaters. Right. That was pretty much my Las Vegas
great
Thanksgiving.
That makes it really easy. We don't even have to talk about
it. I know. You're right.
How did that happen?
It's because my grandparents live there.
Do they like
it? They love it. Thanksgiving, Las Vegas is sort of ideal for old people because it's very flat and you can drive everywhere and there's a lot of like early bird specials and such. So they loved it.
Right.
They love it.
They like the reels. They like the slots.
And my grandmother plays slot machines all the time.
Yeah.
But
she addicted, would you say?
Yeah, probably. But I mean,
I heard this really sad episode of This American Life about being addicted to slots.
She's like 85. What else is she going to be addicted to?
That's true.
Heroin?
Yeah. Hugs? I guess.
Do you ever...
Calls from her grandkids?
Yeah. What if your inheritance is lost to the old steel machine?
Yeah, I'm worried. I don't know. It's just like... It's nice to see family and stuff, but I just sort of wish it was more idyllic than like loud insanity, you know.
Well, what hotel did you go to?
Tiger can't change his stripes, you know. What do you spend your whole life hearing about how this city is just full of a bunch of drunk, irresponsible people, and then you go to it and you don't like it because of how drunk and irresponsible it is?
Yeah, pretty much.
Did you gamble?
Yeah,
did
I played some poker against.
How'd you do?
Locals. I didn't do great.
I've never had the nerve to play at a table.
It's fun. If you do go to Vegas, that's what I would recommend, because even if you lose at poker, your money still lasts like way longer than at like blackjack.
Oh my god, tell me about it.
Like I was able to play for like an hour and a half or 2 hours, and I ended up losing like $80, which in the long run. Like you could
$80 is usually where I ended up, like losing whenever I went to the local table games around Huntington. I forget exactly where it is. I would usually
it's out Crossland.
Yeah, I would usually hit that 60 to 80 mark, and then I'd be like, well, that's a good amount of money to lose.
Yeah, and I feel like you're losing it to people and not a faceless like institution.
Oh no, I was a blackjack man.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I would lose that shit in, like, 20 minutes, maybe. If I was lucky.
Wait, you were playing blackjack in Huntington?
Yeah.
Are these illegal tables?
No. They legalized them.
Yeah. Not in Huntington.
In Crosslands.
At the dog track.
Yeah, the dog track.
In Crosslands.
Oh, that's the good stuff. Maybe you lose $60 on the tables. You go drop a buck on a doggy, and then maybe you win it back. Maybe it's a good day.
I understand your confusion. The table games are relatively new there.
Yeah.
They just made those legal, like, I don't know.
Economy hit you hard.
Economy's tough, man. We're selling our soul, sold our soul to coal. Now we're selling it to the green-eyed, one-armed bandit monster.
I asked if they take scrip from the mine, but they wouldn't they wouldn't accept it. They
said, wouldn't do it, huh?
I want a good old-fashioned American sponduly.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Scrip. Well, then let's. You know, I'm making script jokes.
I don't know what that is.
Okay. Well, have fun on Google. Who's been playing Persona 4?
Me. Guys, again, I'm like 34 hours deep into that guy, and man. Yowzers.
I'm confused. So this is Persona 4 Golden?
Yeah. Did you play Persona 4?
No, tough. I've not played any of them.
Don't need to, because it's not Golden. Why would you want to play the non-Precious Metal edition of this game? It doesn't make sense to
me. I have to say, before you listeners out there shut your brains off, I was once like you. Mm-hmm. I would hear Persona, and like my I would go to sleep.
I finished. I had never played a Persona game until Persona 3 Portable, which I got for the Vita, and I spent maybe 50 hours on, and that was earlier this year, and I'm still like, I was still hungry to play even more Persona, which is fortunate. Basically, what you need to know about Persona, it is a game composed of two parts, and the first part is like a life simulation, where you have to make social connections with people. This is not like not a creepy way, because that might be where you go. You just meet people, and some of the people are party members that you use in combat. Some people are just locals around the town. But everything you do also complements the other part of the game, which is a dungeon diving RPG, where you do the stuff that you think goes along with that genre. You fight monsters, you collect treasure.
Is it turn-based? Is it like Final Fantasy?
It's turn-based, yeah. But there's a lot of... The combat is based around finding like the weaknesses of your enemies and then exploiting them, because you get extra turns for doing that. So you have to try and like set up combos and basically keep them from attacking.
Is it action-y in the way that like Paper Mario is action-y?
No, not at all. Not in the least little bit. And you do that combat with other party members who have personas, which are sort of set in stone for them. It's just like, this character is a fire type guy, and this character, you know, is really strong. But the main character can change personas, which you collect in a Pokemon-esque fashion. Usually you can just find them after you win a battle, but you can also combine them in all sorts of different ways to get new personas. It's a very complex but like really rewarding system, because there's like inheritances. You can give powers from one persona to the other. And once you figure it out, like, you can really tailor make your strategy, which you need to do, because as the battles get harder, like, you need to sort of evolve to move up. But all of that stuff is complemented by the other part of the game, which is like each social link is what they're called. Each relationship you have with somebody outside of the dungeon strengthens your ability to make a certain type of persona inside of the dungeon. So you may have... They're all split along like tarot cards. So you may have like one relationship that represents this one tarot. And if you get it really, really, really strong, then next time you make a persona of that type, it will also be very, very strong.
This is the hardest thing to even perceive of.
I know. It's hard to explain too. Basically, everything you do in real life better prepares you to fight in the dungeon.
Is this the game where you shoot yourself in the head?
Yeah.
No, that was Persona 3.
Oh, okay.
They don't do that anymore. How do they evoke?
Yeah. Persona 3 had this kind of cool prep school, almost like Buffy the Vampire Slayer vibe, because like you were this elite team of hunters that lived in this dorm, but by night they you know, went into this tower and fought things. Persona 4 is like much stranger. It takes place in this really sleepy small town, and you go inside of your television to this like alternate world inside of your television. It runs the line up of quirkiness like right up to being too weird, and that's all represented in like the dialogue and the localization. Like, it almost crosses over, but it doesn't, which ends up being like super charming and entertaining. Chris Plant, I thought you played this. I thought you were getting into it.
No, I was really interested in it, and like, I was sold. Now I don't know. Now it sounds really complicated.
Well, it's not super, only that, I hate Final Fantasy, and it sounds like a lot like Final Fantasy.
I'm
gonna try it.
Justin, you played Persona 3, and Persona 3 is very, very similar to Persona 4. There's a lot more stuff to do in Persona 4, but the core of the game is basically the same idea of splitting your time between real life and dungeon stuff.
I ate so much Persona 3 that I played for 40 hours, and the way my experience of that game ended was me just, like, standing up from the table and pushing my play away and saying, I can't eat anymore.
Yeah.
But if you haven't tasted any Persona 3, you might be surprised at how much you enjoy the flavor.
The problem with,
I'm just stuffed right
the
now.
The problem with Persona 3, I think, is that there weren't all that many things to do outside of the world. Like, every game has, I think, the same amount of social links, which you have to develop over time. But there's also stuff, you can go see a movie and improve, like, certain skills, or you can, you know, do this one mini game. And Persona 4 Golden has, like, dozens more options to do. Like, you will not spend... It takes place over a year, so you spend every day basically doing different things, and like, no 2 days I spent doing the exact same thing. Which, it put a really interesting... I was worried, that was my biggest concern when I was playing Persona 3, was that you have a hard time limit. Like, after a year, the game is over. But it really does lend itself to, like, being just good storytelling. Like, special events happen during the town, and, like, your characters look forward to them. And, like, you feel like you really get to know the setting of the game and the characters that you're interacting with.
Can you describe sort of, like, a social link example where it's like, oh, I need, like, are you just talking to someone and giving them a flower?
No, like, you will have basically the quintessential gold exclamation point over their head telling you, like, every given day is split up into different chunks, right? So there's, like, the morning when you're walking to school, and that's usually, like, a cutscene telling you, like, what's going on. And then after school, you'll have the option to basically do whatever you want. So you can go, you know, hang out with one of your friends, and there will be a prompt telling you that, you know, this person wants to hang out with you. So you can do that, and then if you've developed your relationship enough, like, the social link will get stronger. And those social link storylines are told in, like, a multi-step story. Like, so the first step may just be, like, oh, my dad's in the hospital. And then, like, it'll just sort of play out from there. And, like, a lot of the themes are pretty mature. A lot of them are sort of thematic about, like, high schoolers discovering their place in the world, which, I mean, you may not dig on. But it's all handled very well, and it's really well written. And
are they confused about why their bodies are changing?
Yeah, there's a lot of explaining what a pube is, and when you explain what a pube is, good, then your monsters get stronger.
Oh, awesome!
Yeah, it's really good.
So, guys, when are we ready to make a decision?
Yeah,
yet?
I think so.
I feel like I could talk about Persona 4 for about 20 more minutes.
I feel like I could listen to you talk about it for about
10. Yeah, I'm
so
about done.
I think it's pretty clear difference. Winner that this week is Need for Speed Most Wanted.
Man, I played the multiplayer for that for the first time last night.
What?
Holy shit, is it fun.
Wait. So, the reason that game got knocked off is two of you ass clowns didn't play it. And then the person who was, like, my co-conspirator hadn't even played the whole point of the game.
Well, the single player is, like, super good.
No, it's not. It's, like, okay. It's fine. The multiplayer is the whole point.
Well, maybe you should have fucking told me to play the multiplayer.
Yeah, you really should have told him.
Oh, my gosh.
I would like to petition. Like, I'm going to bring it back at the end of the year, and it's going to be great. It's going to be, like, Guy Fawkes-level conspiracy to get it back in the running.
That's bad. Because we can't. We need to follow the practice that we've been going.
No. Yeah, because we've never changed the rules of the show before.
Nope, never.
Yeah, you're a doofus.
Oh, hey, whoa. There.
Hey, you can't see, but I'm pulling my collar right now.
Let's not look that far forward, although it is coming up.
You know, I actually want to say that Persona 4 wins. That way I have to play it, and then I can refute that claim later.
Like, it really, I haven't done a good job of explaining it, and honestly,
you like it a lot more than Planet Side?
I don't think anyone can. Yeah. It's... I may have not been showing my enthusiasm enough. It's one of my favorite games that I've played this year. Like, it is completely engrossing. Every free moment I have, I play it. And that's partially because it's very, very good, but also it's just perfectly designed for pick up and play. Like, it is a
killer.
Well,
I'll vote for Persona 4 so long as you stop describing it right now.
Okay.
Thank you.
We have a deal.
But people should really try Hitman too.
Yeah, you seem super enthusiastic about it.
I'm really... I need to play the rest of it.
I feel like we're all very low-key this week.
I feel like we're all fucking tired, and I think we're all worried that there's no more games coming out.
That's not true. Next week is Far Cry.
Far Cry 3. Okay, so game... I actually wrote down on this piece of paper, next week is Far Cry 3, knowing that you were going to say it. So can you give me two other games?
What was the other game besides Far Cry? Oh, what was like a Flash game? The Kimby Matumbo's four and a half weeks to save the world.
4.5 weeks.
Okay.
Okay, so can we I know that we've never done this before. Can we prematurely give it to Far Cry 3 for
what?
This week?
Is have that you possible? Not played the Kimby Matumbo? Don't get me wrong.
I haven't played either of these games.
Oh my Justin. Gosh.
But I know one stars a white guy.
That's well, all no, I wow. say. One stars a white guy who is gradually re-raced or something. The story is really
okay, no
weird.
Spoilers. One of them does feature some of the best writing in a game I've seen all year.
And it's written by an ad.
And it's not Far Cry.
Dikembe Mutombo. It really is something special. Well, listen, let's not count our Dikembe Mutombos before they hatch.
Game? Yeah.
Ohio.
Let's get to that. Let's get to that later. The real question, are we dethroning Black Ops 2? Because it came out on
what?
The... It came out on...
What game actually wins?
I think we're retiring it.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. It's not going to be in our discussion, so... I say put Persona forward.
Yeah,
oh
that's fine.
Oh, my God. Guys, I never thought this would happen.
Well, that's fine. Great. It's getting booted out next week, so it doesn't matter.
Horse malarkey.
I wish I could show it to you on the computer, because it's you are looking into a crystal ball. This is what the future is, man.
Can you show it to us orally?
Yes. So, you stand on a savanna. In the distance, there is grass, and it's moving
slower.
In the wind. But as you get closer, you realize
slower?
Those are dogs. And the dogs are coming at you. And you
wait, Savannah? I thought this took place on an island.
You pull out your shotgun. But the dog's already there. He bites your arm. You throw the dog to the ground. You shoot the dog in the face. And then you cut him open and you pull out his guts. And
oh
then
my God.
You make those guts into a knapsack.
Oh.
That's actually like the game. I just spoiled 5 minutes of the game.
That sounds actually great.
It's pretty great, yeah. I lit a shark on fire with an explosive arrow.
Okay.
Spoilers.
Boom.
G-O-T-Y.
Smile, you son of a bitch.
Was LL Cool J in his mouth at the time?
Man, I wish I could talk about this game, because the opening 5 minutes of this game is so absurd.
We're going to have to save it for next week.
Oh, man. It's going
to
be good.
Folks, thank you so much for listening to our program. We really appreciate all of you tuning in. Polygon.com is a website where we put our words... and let our ink fly, so you can go there to see everything that we got cooking. You can also follow us on Twitter at Polygon, Facebook.com/Polygon, YouTube/Polygon, Polygon.com.tumblr.com.
Did you say Polygon.com?
No, I said
don't go to whatever website that is.
Yeah, please, for me. And thank you for joining us on the Besties.
If you do go, let me know what's on it, though. I have Net Nanny, or I'd go myself. I have a self-imposed Net Nanny.
Did you say Net Nanny?
Net Nanny.
Did you say Netanyahu?
I said the show.
He's got his own problems.
Net Nanny. It's my grandma. She sits behind me, and she says, what is polygon.com? Gross.
Thanks for joining us on the Besties, and be sure to join us again next week, because she's the world's best friends. Pick the world's best games. Besties!